This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to Saxo's Market Call podcast on Thursday, July 8th, 2021. And Ole, you told me yesterday that we were in silly markets and what's going on? I don't know whether you can call it silly, but it's definitely a very different change of underlying tune in the markets. We've come from rising and blazing higher inflation expectations to suddenly talking about the economy slowing down. You had China yesterday's China's cabinet saying that they're considering lowering the central bank rate to support the real economy. We have talked about it for some while here on the podcast that the Chinese economy seems very much out of step with the rest of the world, and slowdowns were building inside the system. And now it's official that if the State Council approve it, they will begin to move to an easing stance, and potentially we will also see fiscal measures. Before I jump to you, Ole, I just quickly want to note on equities, we had a new all-time high in the NASDAQ 100 and S&P 500. Just like yesterday, the majority of our theme baskets were actually in negative. You can see that on slide 2 with a little insert there. So there are some strange divergences happening inside the equity market. We'll have to follow that more closely because it's not the normal stocks that are pulling this market higher. That's for sure. But one of the drivers, Ole, you put that in on slide 3, that's the 10-year yield. It's dropping further. And it's, I guess it's on these growth concerns.
It is indeed. And also the FOMC minutes yesterday didn't really throw any hand grenades into the market. They showed that there's continued uncertainty, even though they did discuss the prospect for having to taper sometime in the future. But the market taking this on the chin, 10-year yields has made a new low this morning. We're below 129, which is basically the 38.2% retracement of the whole run-up in yields we had since last August. So based on this, from a technical perspective, it could continue and move downwards with the next target being 114. So easing of yields, supposedly supporting non-coupon interest-bearing commodities such as gold. So far, we haven't really seen it because the dollar at the same time has shown a little bit of grit here over the past couple of days. And I think as long as the headline on the major stock indices continue to move higher than and inflation expectations drops, then gold is potentially just struggling a little bit. And I showed this on slide six in today's deck that gold is holding above that 1795 level, but really needs to take out 1814. We're trading 1809 right as we record this. So potentially another go on the upside with this drop in yields. What is interesting at the same time is that we are seeing a slowdown in some of the industrial metals, and it's driving some weakness, relative weakness in silver. You can also put in the gold silver ratio, which basically shows that that has increased risen to the highest level in 3 months. So silver is struggling right now amid the weakness we're seeing in industrial metals, and that's obviously going back to where we started with the potential weakness coming in through China. And I'll actually just take that over to the to another slide, because we had a very volatile week in the grain market as well. The Chinese outlook is one which points towards a higher domestic increase in production of corn. At the same time, we had some improved weather in the U.S. this past week. So we had this whole rally we saw post the low acreage report last week has been wiped out, and we are once again seeing the market struggling a bit. So favorable weather and the prospect for lower Chinese imports of corn is basically weighing on that market, and that potentially could also ease some of the inflationary pressures that we've seen in the system. And as I'm just on a roll here, Peter, I'll just take the next slide there, because obviously we need to, everyone is really asking what on earth is going on in crude oil. We have a failure by OPEC Plus to provide a deal that basically in theory should leave a market even tighter going into the autumn months. But so far, crude oil is trading down for a third day in a row. And I think there are several reasons for this. First of all, the market hates uncertainty, and that's OPEC Plus is most certainly providing that right now. At the same time, we're into the holiday season where liquidity tends to dry up and the volatility goes up, especially if we have unfinished business. And we most certainly have that in the crude oil market right now with the uncertainty related to OPEC Plus and potentially also what can happen with the UAE. Are they going to go for broke and just increase production? It most certainly raises the risk of non-compliance if we don't get a deal soon. So oil's drifting lower, but just considering the length that we traveled since last November, it's still only just a blip, nothing really that measures on a major scale. But today we're just looking ahead to the delayed weekly stock report. API showed an 8 million barrel drop last week. Surveys ahead of the EIA report is looking for half that, but still a supportive drop in oil. But now there are other and bigger fish to fry, and that basically means that the oil market for now at least is back on defensive.
Okay, thank you very much, Ole. We should also mention actually that in the FOMC minutes there are clues and points suggesting that the Fed sees an earlier ending to its quantitative easing or its bond buying programs, which fits very well with the reverse repo facility that we have talked so much about on this podcast. Altia have been crunching the numbers, as she's basically has been saying for a week or two, that the Fed is basically backed into a corner and is in this position where they have to either, you know, accept negative money market rates or, you know, basically begin tapering. So the wind is shifting in markets. China is changing to a much, you know, more easier fiscal and monetary stimulus. That should be good for the world, but in the short term, the market obviously is interpreting that as a growth concern. And then also the whole Delta variant, as you mentioned, Ole, is changing the tune as well on travel, etc.
That's actually a key point, Peter. I forgot to mention with regards to the oil market, because that is once again a growing concern. The Johns Hopkins Institute just yesterday released data showing that and it's obviously not so we should not talk about death and destruction on this, but basically we now reached 4 million deaths. It took 82 days for the last 1 million to occur. The previous million took 92 days. So if anything, it's not slowing down. It's speeding up, and it is obviously hitting very differently across the world, depending on the vaccine rollout. So it just highlights this is a virus that's not gone away, and that it will potentially have a continued impact on fuel demand. So we may see the next thing that may happen is that some of the elevated demand expectations for oil is starting to come down again, and that obviously would be somewhat of a negative development for the oil market.
Yeah, and you have this weird situation with Brazil and India, unfortunately, taking the brunt of all and the dead people from the COVID-19. But those two countries, their equity market is looking past the COVID-19, and actually the Indian equity market are looking pretty healthy, and the Brazilian equity market have also done pretty well over the past year. So it is strange times. And on Friday and Saturday, we have the upcoming G20 meeting. We're highlighting that again today because it is important. The most key takeaway and the potential hiccup for markets will be on Monday's reaction to whether the EU will keep its stance on a digital tax, which which Washington is really opposing, because obviously they want to protect their technology giants from an extra tax levy. Moving to the macro calendar, the most important macro number today, obviously, I think maybe you disagree, Ole, but that's the initial jobless claims. And then on Friday, tomorrow, we have the PPI from China, which will be super interesting for gauging where we are in inflation. I don't know, Ole, if you're still on the line. I know you have a tight deadline, whether you want to comment on the food index and the natural gas storage change.
Yeah, well, the gas storage changes, we're seeing gas price also just easing, softening a little bit. But I think the FAO's monthly food price index just hit my screen here, and it's the index is down to 124.6 from 127.8. So we're seeing a pause in this month-long increase in food prices, which was expected because June was a bit of a troubled month for the agricultural space. So we're seeing a bit of softening there as well coming into the price action.
All right. Thank you very much, Ole. It was a shorter podcast than normal. We were to the point today, Ole and I, but we will take up the baton tomorrow and digest, and I'll talk a little bit about the upcoming earnings season, which actually starts next week. But I think we're done for today, and thank you for listening, everyone, and stay safe out there. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter @SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.